As you know, a while back I went to PopTech up in Camden, Maine, which was featuring a lot of very interesting cutting-edge organizations that are utilizing technology, trying to get technology out into the field. And I did a number of interviews with different folks who are working on this. And one interview that I did was with Heather Fleming, who is the founder and director of a group called Catapult Design in California. Now, Catapult Design was established in January of 2008, and it's the design initiative of Engineers Without Borders USA, which is an international humanitarian organization established to partner with developing communities worldwide in order to improve their quality of life. I'm going to let Heather actually tell you a little bit more about Catapult Design. Bear in mind that this was recorded outside in the main square there in Camden, Maine.
Catapult Design is a resource for nonprofits around the world who have technology and design obstacles that they either have limited capacity or expertise to take on themselves.
So when you say design obstacles, can you give me an example? What are we talking about here?
Sure thing. So I can talk about two of our current clients right now. The first one is Hippo Roller out of South Africa. So what Hippo Roller does is they have a product on the market for 13 years. It's a water barrel that holds about 90 liters of water, and it rolls along the ground, and it reduces the amount of trips that women take to the local water source. It holds, well, they're currently taking 5-gallon buckets on their heads, and they do that trip on a daily basis. But using the Hippo Roller, they can get 4 days' worth of water for their family, so it drastically reduces the amount of trips they're taking. But the problem here is that the Hippo is prohibitively expensive. So Hippo Roller, as an organization, is limited by growth because they can't get their product out to the market that they'd like to get it to. And yet it's still in high demand and it's heavily subsidized. So what we're doing for them is coming in and reevaluating their current product and trying to figure out a way to drastically reduce the price, so they can bring it to other places that need the same sort of technology, like maybe India or South America.
So when you take a look at a product like Hippo Roller, what sorts of things are you thinking about from a design point of view to bring the cost down?
We look at it from kind of a holistic perspective, and the first thing that we do is assess the true need of that technology. I mean, what's the real problem here? Maybe it's not water transportation. Maybe it's something else. So there's kind of that step back approach that we look at first before taking on any project. And then it kind of gets into the details. Well, what are the needs of this nonprofit? If they really want to expand, what do they need to do as well in order to take this technology to market? And what are the needs of the community as a whole? Should it be a system that's for individuals, or should it be a system that's for a community? And what does that imply if you go both of those directions? So we never take on projects that are too narrowly defined that we can't evaluate it from a larger perspective and try and figure out what the bigger issue is.
Is there another example that you can give that you guys work on?
Yeah, sure. So we have another great project out of the Philippines, and it's with an organization called A Single Drop for Safe Water. And what they do is they implement micro-manufacturing facilities for biosand filtration, so providing clean water to communities throughout the Philippines. And they've been doing this for a few years very effectively, but they have run into a roadblock. They can't get into all the communities they would like to get into because not all of these communities have the filtration media necessary for biosand filters. So what they have noticed that these communities do have gravel-sized rocks. So if they had a way of breaking down those rocks into a smaller media that was appropriate for biosand filtration, then they could continue to build their facilities in these communities. They'd expand their reach. So we're working on a rock-crushing mechanism for them.
Of course, you have to make sure that in and of itself is a cheap solution to that problem as
right.
Well.
Right. Well, there was a lot of effort to define what this organization could afford, and they've also talked about expanding into Africa. So what does that mean for the technology as well? Now it has to be built in Africa as well. So it turns into quite a task, actually, figuring out some of these problems and thinking forward enough so that you just don't create more problems for them down the line.
So how big an organization is Catapult?
So the way we operate right now, we have four employees. but we have a very wide volunteer base, and we're also partnered with Engineers Without Borders USA, and they have an army of engineers at about 14,000 at this point, working on projects in 42 countries around the world. So our network is wide, and what we're really trying to do is engage the design community at large, because we think that there should be a multitude of people looking at these problems and not just us.
Where does the profit come from in all of this, especially for an outfit like yours?
Well, we do charge for our services, and the reason for that is because we found in the past that if our partners don't make that monetary investment, that they don't make the emotional investment either. And it really needs both in order to create a self-sustaining business. So that is one source of income. The second is donations and grants, which every nonprofit out there is grabbing for. So what we're looking to do and what we're trying to set up now is relationships with the type of foundations and organizations that are funding some of the most promising nonprofits out there that are looking to get a good technology into the developing world. And we could help them implement their mission as well. So the funding source would come from these outside organizations. And we, in turn, would be the design arm of those funded organizations and take some of that funding money.
How important is it in your work to actually do the field work, to actually go to see the Hippo Roller, for example, in action, how people are using it, and then from that get a sense of what redesign could be done to make that a cheaper or more effective technology?
It's immensely important to travel to the place where you're doing the design work, immensely. And that is the sole reason why we partner with nonprofits and we're not trying to create these technologies on our own. I have no idea what life is like in South Africa. I have no idea what life is like in Guatemala. I can go and visit and I still won't get a good sense. So I need that partner organization to kind of clue me in, and I need to talk with people there to sort of to empathize and get a sense of what we're up against. And also, design is... and technology development is the easiest part of this problem. You know, engineers can do this. These solutions exist. The hard part is the marketing, getting the technology disseminated, getting people to accept it, and then measuring the impact. And that's not what a lot of people are doing effectively.
Do you guys deal with that, or do you guys just take care of the design part?
We mostly take care of the design part, but we are trying to expand our services into that area. But for us, it's a lot of building that expertise. And I think a lot of groups are trying to do that now as well, because it's so important that it gets done.
Again, local partners must be vital for especially that the getting the buy-in from the local community.
Definitely. And when we're looking for partners, when we're assessing out organizations, we look for ones that already have marketing and implementation strategies in place. People who have had products on the market already or have very, very strong relationships with the communities that they're working in.
Have you had an instance where you've done a redesign on something and taken it back to folks and the local people said, oh, there's just no way people are going to use that. You're going to have to come up with something else.
We've definitely had instances of that. It's unavoidable, really, because a lot of times, even though we try to do our best with user empathy, we still get caught up by things that there's just no way that we could foresee them. So... our very first project was for the Darfur stove with a partnership with CHF Sudan and Lawrence Berkeley National Labs. And that was through EWB, or through Engineers Without Borders. And as part of the first 50-stove rollout, a volunteer called Brian Tachibana went over to Sudan to try and build the first 50 stoves in country. And he ran up against a lot of obstacles. I mean, just in terms of how you create that sheet metal body. What we had done wasn't quite right, and he couldn't figure out a way to do it as we had designed it. So it was very much for him just thinking on the fly, okay, how do I fix this problem? And there was also this grate that was part of the design that turned out to be a really expensive part. So how could we redesign that specific part so that it was cheaper? And then there was also usability issues that came up. The women were losing some of the parts or selling them off So how do you make the design with less parts, or maybe how do you get across that, you know, you need this part in order to make it work? It's cultural differences that we were trying to overcome there, and understanding what people really wanted.
I mean, I would imagine that you have instances like that where you've got something, you take it to country, you realize that there are these obstacles. Necessity really is the mother of invention. You get incredible innovation, actually, when there's a scarcity of resources. And there's, hey, we have to do it this way. There's no other way to do it here.
It's true. And you know, when you visit the countries that you're working on these projects in, most of the time it's not even you doing the innovation. It's you witnessing somebody there who's done this for years in their way, something that you would never have thought of. And just watching them being innovative is what guides your design. So really, it's not so much us. It's more of us just adapting what they're already doing. And does that make us innovative? Maybe it does, but I think it's really the people in these communities who are innovative.
Heather, thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Got a picture of the hippo roller that I'll put up on the show notes blog. Again, the best way to get there is theworld.org/technology and follow the link to Clark's tech blog. Okay, we're going to...